Let's get our Bibles out this morning, and we're going to look at the Word of God here for just a little bit. Very familiar story that we find in the Scriptures, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10, and this will get us started here this morning. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10, "And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." Somebody said amen.
Amen.
You are complete in Him, complete in Him. And I want to just talk to us this morning about the place of completion. Amen. And we're doing this on Facebook here this morning. If you're watching here this morning on Facebook, we appreciate you coming and being a part of it this morning, and I pray that the Word of God will speak to everybody this morning, and it will help us to see the good things of life. Father, we thank You for the Word of God this morning. Thank You for truth. Ask You to anoint the Word in Jesus' name, we pray. And somebody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated this morning. God bless you. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful day it is today.
Amen.
Amen. We decided to have dinner after service here at the church because there's supposed to be possible weather situations. So after we're finished here this morning, we're all going to go over and have fellowship together and have a good lunch together. When we look at the scripture here this morning, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10, where he said, "You are complete in him," that word complete gives us a definition that we can really focus in on here this morning. And it means to cram, and as though you have a net and you cram it full of something. It also literally means to level up. In other words, if you have a hole or you have an empty spot in the ground, you can complete that situation by filling up that spot that is not full. And so it means to cram. It means to level up. And so from this definition here this morning, we can quickly see that the opposite of completion is emptiness. Amen. And or half full, or even three quarters full. And so when we look through the eyes of humanity, we can see that Paul, the author of this book, was wanting to make a comparison of the things of this world and the things of the world to come. And all of us here this morning, every one of us, from time to time, we have a feeling of emptiness. We have a feeling of needing more, or a lack of satisfaction as we go through life. And you can experience it after a vacation, especially if you got little ones. Amen. You think, now we spent all that money for all that trouble. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And I'm sure it's not that way with any of you here this morning. But we look forward to our vacations when it's over with, and we come home, all of a sudden there's an emptiness on the inside. There's a feeling on the inside that is just not satisfied. And we can experience earthly pleasure. We can experience all kinds of things in life. But it doesn't matter what you experience. When you get to the end of that experience, you're always going to feel that emptiness down on the inside. And those feelings are normal. They really are. It doesn't say that there's a problem or anything like that. They're just normal. Those feelings actually come from our soul. Somebody said amen. They come from the soul, because the soul is the reality. It is the most real part of us that anything is. And the body that we're living in this morning is what I'm looking at, is the body of those of you that are here today. But the day is going to come when the body is going to be gone, a day when it is going to die. And that's why we have Memorial Day, to remember those who have passed on. And this feeling of emptiness comes from our eternal soul. Our soul is an eternal part of us. The body is the temporal part of us. And so the body, this body that we have today, houses that which is eternal, and that would be our soul. Amen. And the soul, by its very nature, cannot be satisfied with a vacation. It cannot be satisfied with making money. It cannot be satisfied with having possessions. And even it can't be satisfied with our human relationships. Amen. The only way that the soul can be satisfied this morning is with God. Somebody said amen. Excuse me. And so when I think about this, there's a true story. Go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And this is a writing, or a book, if you please, a very small book, but very powerful, about a man who had everything he ever wanted to have. We call it here in America the American dream. A house, a car, lots of money, lots of vacations, travel, all of those kinds of things. And that's what we promote here in our capitalist society. And here was a man, his name is Solomon. He was the third king in Israel, following after his father David. And he got to the place where he had all of these things surrounding him. And he decided, I want to find out what makes people happy. His search and his longing was really the crying of his soul that was saying, seek God and find God. And he wanted to find out what would make men happy. And he couldn't and didn't discern the cry of his soul. And so in doing that, he started out wrong and came to some very interesting conclusions. And let's look at it. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 12. And it says this, I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. And so when you look that up, that word vanity means emptiness. And he came to this conclusion because he was looking at life through the eyes of the carnal flesh and not through the eyes of the eternal soul that was in him. And he goes on and he says, that which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. In other words, there are so many things that falls short, you can't number them. There's so many of them. And he said, I communed with my own heart. We would say it here today, he started talking to himself and started reasoning within his mind. What is all of this about? He said, I communed with my own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And by the way, this started when he was just a young boy. And he became king as a young man. And a young person, you can find wisdom and understanding in your life. That wisdom and understanding comes from God. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
it comes from God. And he said, so I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this is also vexation of spirit, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increases sorrow. And so what he started out with was wisdom. He wanted to know this, that, and the other. And no doubt he got the wise men of his kingdom and asked them why it was that the sun came across every day. And he asked, where does the rain come from? And he learned scientific wisdom and knowledge. He got the counselors that maybe counseled relationship problems and asked them to show him some things about wisdom in that area, building things and doing things. He gave himself to wisdom, and when it was all said and done, he said, it is vanity. Amen. And in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Now, he's not saying that we shouldn't know things. And in fact, in another place, he said that wisdom is the principal thing. That wisdom is the very thing that we need to seek for, is wisdom and knowledge. And was he contradicting himself? No. What he was talking about on one end was the wisdom and knowledge of the Lord, the wisdom and knowledge of spiritual things and eternal things. And on this point here this morning, he is talking about earthly things, and there is a big difference between the two. Praise God. A huge difference between the two. And so he said, I said in my heart, I will prove the Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 1. I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. Amen. And I don't know exactly what all that was, but, you know, he had this, that, and the other that he did. Where Sister Netta lives and goes to church over in their new fellowship hall, they have corn tosses or whatever you call it, cornhole. And it's a little bag of corn, and you throw it, and there's a deal that's at an angle, and you're supposed to get it in the hole. And Brother Stevens, I said, here, let me try it. I want to see if I can beat you. You know how it is with men. And I threw it and missed the thing altogether, and then threw it again, and it hit far away from the hole. And he got up. And he threw it went in the hole. He threw it again, it went in the hole. He threw it again, it went in the hole. And I said, that's it, I give up. Amen. This is all vanity and vexation of spirit. Amen. And I'm not going to do this anymore. I golf a little bit, very, very little. And I was talking to my elder pastor who's passed away. And I said, why don't you take up golfing? And he said, I've thought about that. And he said, I'm not going to do it because it takes too long to get good enough to beat everybody. Praise the Lord. And so I'm just not going to do it. Amen. It's vanity. It's vexation of spirit. And so he said, I'm going to enjoy pleasure. And he said, this also is vanity or empty. I said, of laughter, it is mad. And of mirth, what doeth it? And so no doubt Solomon, with all of his resources, got somebody to come and tell jokes. And they told enough jokes that they were on the floor laughing and rolling and hysterical. I don't know if you've ever done that. Nobody looks like they're doing that here this morning. Amen. I'm trying to get a smile out of a few of you here today. But if you just go after comedy and laughter and all of that, I'll tell you what, it is empty and it is vanity. Somebody said amen. 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 Help me here this morning. Amen. And so Not only did he do that, he said, I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, alcohol, and acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly till I could see that what that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. Amen. So he tried pleasure, he tried laughter, he tried alcoholic beverages, whatever it was, the wine and the strong drink. And you can read in other places that he said it's very foolish to get involved in those things because it will turn your heart away from God. Amen. And so he tried all of these things. And, you know, it's Memorial Day today, and we can learn a lot from our elders who have gone on before us and remember the things that they taught us and all of that. And it's very good for each and every one of us here this morning and every young person that is here this morning to learn from your elders. Praise God. Because none of us have all the answers. None of us has all the wisdom, and we need to reach out to our elders. Praise God. And so he tried all of this, and he said, it's emptiness and it's vanity. And he didn't realize that it was his soul crying out for want. Amen. In verse 4 through verse 7, I made me great works. I built me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. Notice the times that he talks about himself, me and I. And I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. And so you can just fill in the blanks here of all the things that he did when he built the temple of the Lord. It was magnificent. There was nothing like it in all the earth. I could just imagine what his house looked like. Amen. And I'm very thankful for my house, and plan on just living there from now on. And but if I were to go into Solomon's house, my house would look like a tar paper shack. Amen. And he built this house, not just a house, but houses. Reminds me of a little bit of the mansions in Newport, Rhode Island, of those that built their houses in England and then disassembled them, floated them across the ocean and rebuilt them there in that spot. And very beautiful, very ornate, very, very costly. And then we found out that they lived there 6 weeks out of the year. That was just their summer home where they came in the summertime. None of us really understand that or understand that kind of wealth. In one of those mansions, they had 30 or 40 servants, and all they did was fix breakfast, lunch, dinner. They had a little button they could push, and somebody would show up and give them what they wanted. Had all kinds of things at their disposal. And that's what Solomon had. But what he didn't realize was that ranching for cattle, having the maids and the servants, the men and the women's servants, the fruit trees, the pools of water, the orchards, and every kind of fruit that you would ever want, it probably thrilled his heart the first time that he went out and saw the fruit on the trees. But next year he probably didn't even go because, as we say here in our society, been there, done that. Amen. And so Solomon had been there and done that, but he didn't stop with that. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 8, I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. And so he got one-of-a-kind treasures from all over the world, probably had them in a special room where he could tell his friends that came by or other kings or, dignitaries or whatever, and he could show them all of these great things that he had. And he said, I got me men singers and women singers. And so he tried out music and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. How many of you love music? Amen. Two or three of you love music here this morning. All right. Praise God. I know you're wanting some of those dogs over there. Y'all okay this morning?
Amen.
Praise God. And musical instruments. I love to hear musical instruments played. And I won't go into all that. But he said, so I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. He didn't forget anything that he had learned. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. Whatever he wanted, he got it. It's a dream of many, many people, but it's a false dream. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. So gold and silver didn't satisfy him. He had more than anybody else probably in the whole world, but it didn't satisfy him. Treasures, one-of-a-kind treasures, singers. And when you were going to go before the king, they were picked from the best of the singers, the best of the musical instruments, and those that could play them. And when it was all said and done and the concert was over with, it was empty on the inside. I don't feel complete. I don't feel happy. And it was because it was his soul that was crying out. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 11. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity. Everybody said all. All was vanity. There wasn't anything that was not empty and vain. All was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. In other words, everything that I have done was worth nothing. Amen. There was no profit. There was no good that came out of this. He finally listened to his soul and got a hold of spiritual wisdom and said, you know what, when it's all said and done, everything that I've done here for myself is not going to last in eternity. It's going to be gone. Praise God. Verse 11. This is very revealing here this morning. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit. Verse 17 of the same chapter. Therefore, or because of this, because of what we just read there, therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me. For all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Now you've got to get this in the right context. There's nothing wrong with building a house. There's nothing wrong with having gold or silver. There's nothing wrong with having things in this life. But what we are looking at here is a man that thought that's all it's about. But folks, that's not what it's all about this morning. Amen. It's about serving God and living for God. Amen. That's what it's all about here this morning. And he said, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun. Now, here's an interesting take on this. Because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. And there are many, many people in this world today, especially in our society today, where we have so much that has come to the place where they hate life. Amen. I'm telling you what, this morning, to come and worship God is the greatest thing that we could do all week. Praise the Lord. There's nothing more important than that. Nothing more important than coming and feeling the power and the presence of God. You know, your flesh will give you lots of excuses why you couldn't come or shouldn't come or don't want to come. But the Bible says that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. And some of you have legitimate reasons and all of that. But I'm telling you this morning, there is no satisfaction outside the doors of the kingdom of God. No satisfaction whatsoever. Amen. Because it is all empty and vain. And so when he said this, he said, I got to looking at everything that I've done, and he said, when I die, somebody else is going to inherit what I've worked on. And I don't know if he's going to be a wise man or a fool. I don't know if he's going to have a wild party and spend everything that I built up. Amen. And just don't know if it's going to be carried on. And he looked it all over and he said, what have I been doing with my life? I'm empty, I'm void, I'm filled with vanity. Praise God. And so he said in verse 13 and 14 of chapter 12, he got to the very end of the matter. And he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Everybody said, fear God. Fear God and keep his commandments. Amen. Keep his commandments and fear God. This is the whole duty of man, for God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Amen. So when we look at this message here this morning, I just wanted to try to tell somebody that the emptiness in your soul, amen, is why you're searching for all of these different things. Listen to your soul this morning. Listen to the voice of your soul that's saying, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, and I need God. Somebody said amen. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Here is the world, and here is what's going to happen to the world. And it says, for all that is in the world, that's everything that's in the world, it will be either the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or it will be the pride of life. And the Bible said it is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God. Look at this young person. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. Praise God. That's where you're going to find completion and satisfaction. Sister Reed, would you come this morning? Amen. Somebody's soul is crying out this morning. Why don't you just listen? Just listen to your soul, and your soul will be saying, I need God. For you see, when we were created, when God created Adam and Eve in the garden, when he breathed the breath of life into them, he put in them a soul. The Bible says man became a living soul. And that soul is somewhere inside. If there's an emptiness, if that soul is not complete with God, if it is not filled up with the things of God, there's going to be an empty feeling. Amen. Just like you're probably having an empty feeling right now. And you're wanting to go over and have a dog or two. Praise the Lord. But I'm telling you here this morning, it's not hunger, physical hunger that you're searching for, but it's spiritual hunger today.
Amen.
Let's stand together this morning. Praise the name of Jesus. Can we just love Him together this morning? God, I give You thanks. I give You praise. Thank You for all that You've done, Lord. It's not about what I have done in this life. It's not about the accomplishments or the things that I have amassed in this life. But Lord, it's all about what I've done in the kingdom of God. It's all about what I've done for You. Help us this morning as a church. Help us each and every one that is listening in this morning. If there's a hunger in the heart, Lord, fill that hunger deep down inside. In Jesus' name this morning, praise God. A scripture that came to me while I was studying for this here this morning is found in the book of Acts, chapter 2, very familiar to us Pentecostal folks. Here was a group of 120 people, and they were praying and they were seeking for the most important thing in life, and that was God. They had a hunger on the inside. And it says in chapter 2 and verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven." Everybody said, "From heaven." "As of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all," you know what the next word is, "they were all filled." They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, "and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." The only thing that will fill up that empty spot in your soul is God. It's the only thing. You say, I've got this problem and that problem and this feeling and that feeling. Just lay those things aside. Just lay those things aside. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, where you're going to live. For all the kingdoms of the world, all the people of the world seek after that. But Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Amen. So if I'm going to build a house, the house is going to make me happy for just a little while. But if I've got God, that house is just an added benefit in life. If I can have God and a house, amen. That's better than just having a house.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Nothing wrong with having a nice car, but I've got to have God first.
Amen. Right.
There's nothing wrong with having houses and lands and gold and silver. Nothing wrong with those things. But I'm telling you what, in order to get it in the right perspective, amen, we've got to have God first. That's why we have to come to the altar regularly. That's why the Apostle Paul said, "I die daily," because he was wanting to continually get everything in the right perspective. Amen. It's all about serving God. It's all about doing the will of God.
Amen.
Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning? Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God.